Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer. The violence in Libya has intensified, as you've been hearing on the news. Security forces and militiamen backed by helicopters and warplanes are reportedly shooting to kill protesters in the capital city, Tripoli. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights says at least 250 people have been killed. The international community is condemning the violent government crackdown, and countries are pulling their citizens out of the country. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi remains committed to holding on to power. Late last night, he dispelled rumors that he'd fled the country as he made a 30-second appearance on state TV. And this youth-led pro-democracy uprising in Libya follows, of course, the protests in Tunisia and Egypt, which successfully toppled their autocratic regimes. Protests have spread throughout the region, to Yemen, to Bahrain, to Morocco. So right now, as the pro-democracy movement gains steam throughout the Middle East, we want to hear from our Middle Eastern listeners. Call us up right now. If you have been in contact with your friends or your family in any of the countries in the region, for a lot of the countries, this is the only way we have of telling what's going on. Libya, for one, is not allowing any reporters inside. Our numbers are 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. If you're Egyptian and you have an update, especially if you're Libyan, I'm very interested to hear. I don't even know if there is a Libyan community per se in New York, though there usually is an everything community in New York, especially in Queens. How does it feel to you? Does it feel like 1989 when the Soviet bloc crumbled? What are your feelings watching this from afar? 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, I am joined by Debbie Almentosser, an educator and board chair of the Muslim Consultative Network. Hello, Debbie. Thank you for coming back on WNYC.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
And am I to understand your brother lives in Yemen? What are you hearing from him?
My brother does live in Yemen, and he lives in the outskirts of the capital in a small city called Rada'at. And basically, because he's the only one there with his family, he's really just kept at home and trying to, you know, keep a normal life for his children and his wife, given that he's there alone. But things seem to be very hot in Sana'a, in Taiz, and in Aden, which are large cities where people are just absolutely outraged of, you know, this government and what is happening. And the unfortunate thing, Mike, which is, you know, depressing all of us, is the lack of international media being in present there to really help the world see what's going on and to keep the government accountable to make sure that further atrocities in Yemen are not happening as much as in Libya. And so I hope from this opportunity that people will see the criticalness of this situation and call on international syndicated media to really go out there and shine a light on what's happening to keep the government accountable.
Well, the president of Yemen is Ali Abdullah Saleh. He's been in power for 33 years. In a lot of ways, it sounds a little like Hosni Mubarak in that he's more or less allied with the United States on the one issue the United States cares about, which is cracking down on terrorism. But he's autocratic. There's horrible unemployment in Yemen. What's the sense of the average Yemeni? How does he feel or she feel about his or her leader?
Well, the sense for the majority of Yemenis, especially the young people, the professionals, is that they are sick and tired of having him in reign. They feel that he and his administration have been the Great Wall of China, where they have basically held the country back from prospering and becoming modern as its neighbors, the Gulf and Saudi Arabia, et cetera. And so they're really frustrated and upset and certainly want his leadership to end and to become a democratic society where they can actually decide their own destiny. And so many of them want equality and the distribution of power and resources among all Yemenis, restoring and enforcing the rule of law. Many of them feel that there is no such law. There is a great deal of corruption by officials. They want a more transparent and open government. They want, you know, to end the oppression and persecution of journalists and political opponents who've actually tried to run against him and have not had the opportunity to succeed because of the way that the elections were held, definitely economic reform, addressing the poverty and unemployment situation. The illiteracy situation there is very high, especially in the outskirts. And so there is a great deal of things that people are absolutely outraged about and want to see change.
Well, we are getting calls at 212-433-9692 with people, with family who are in contact with people in Egypt, Libya, and Abraham from Brooklyn. You have ties to Yemen?
Yes, sir. Actually, I was there just about a month ago. And, you know, the situation there, it's been the same since, you know, about years ago, since 2006, people started protesting, but actually there was no international coverage. Mm-hmm. So the government kept, you know, pressing the people. People need reform, and they've been asking for it for such a long time. You know, and today I think, you know, because of the uprising in Tunisia and Egypt, you know, our voices and the Yemeni voices are somehow being heard, but not to the, you know, to the point where everyone wants to be on the same page with governments such as Egypt and Tunisia.
Is the infrastructure such that they have, many people have the internet? Are they organizing via Twitter and Facebook, or more of old-fashioned gather in the square because your neighbor told you to do so?
Yes. Well, actually, right now, it's, you know, there's the media, the internet is an important part. People are networking through the internet, human rights organizations, civil society organizations, and youth organizations are working together and in different ways, you know, either through Facebook or through the phone, or they able to mobilize and really becoming very effective. And that's the only way right now, because the government is actually has a complete control of the, you know, TV, the radios, and everything else.
And so what are you doing besides watching, hopefully?
Well, right now I'm actually with a number of colleagues and a lot of young people from the Yemeni American community. We will be organizing a rally this coming Friday, and we will be standing in solidarity with the Yemeni people right in front of the United Nations, and then we'll march to the Yemeni mission and 51st Street and 1st Avenue between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. this coming Friday.
So Friday between 2 and 6, a solidarity march. Well, thanks for your call, Abraham.
No problem. Thanks.
And are you hearing, I don't know if you've heard about that, Debbie, are you hearing from others, expats who are trying to do something from over here?
Oh, absolutely. I think there, you know, a number of people across the United States. There was actually a rally that was organized in Dearborn this week, and so the number of
town in Michigan that's highly Arab, I should say, yes.
Mm-hmm, Arab have been organizing, and there'll be, you know, further opportunities for people to show their support and solidarity for the people of Yemen. And on the point that was made earlier, a lot of my information has been coming from Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my colleagues have actually put together a website called Yemenis for justice.com. It's the number four in there. And they have basically put blogs up there and Twitter addresses and all the local papers in Yemen for people to be able to go into this warehouse and get firsthand information. And so we've been fortunate to have colleagues in Yemen who are actually giving us information minute by minute.
Our number again, 212-433-9692. I'm especially interested if there are any Libyans, Libyan Americans, people with any ties to Libya who are in our listening audience, or Egyptians as well. We don't want to take our eyes off what was happening there. 212-433-9692. Is there a general profile of the Yemeni in the United States? Are they, for the ones who got out, what, generally richer, generally better educated?
I would say that they are very hardworking people who have played an intricate role for the number of families that they've left behind in Yemen. Many Yemeni Americans who've migrated here work and help support their families back in Yemen because of the economic crisis that, you know, exists there. And so for the most part, many of them own their own businesses, and there are also many who are professionals, such as educators, doctors, etc., and very hardworking people, and are just really delighted to see, you know, the young people of Yemen rising and wanting a better life for themselves and the future.
Now, before you mentioned that the media wasn't paying that much attention to Yemen, is that because there's been a crackdown or just because it's one of the more remote countries on earth and we know about Western news media's bureaus being stretched so thin, they often don't have correspondents anywhere near the area? What are the factors contributing to the lack of news out of Yemen?
I think it's a combination of all the things that you've mentioned, and also I believe that the close watch on Libya right now is also somewhat detracting from what is happening in Yemen. And it's not to say that what's happening in Libya is not important. It's very, very important. And I just hope and pray that, for example, CNN is able to get more correspondents out there. If any of all the international media that's been really giving a decent coverage of what's happening in Yemen is Al Jazeera. However, Al Jazeera is not internationally, across the world being watched. And so, it's a segment of the population globally that's getting that opportunity to see what's happening.
And in the United States, there are only a couple of cable providers, and I think one in Dearborn is one of them that actually carry Al Jazeera, maybe one in Vermont also. But it's been pretty much kept off the cable systems, even though that there are 300 channels, including 7 on how to rent an apartment in New York. Here's the latest on what we know is happening out of Libya, and it's not much. In fact, we have just heard that bodies of slain protesters litter the streets of neighborhoods in the Libyan capital on Tuesday, and frightened residents are hunkering down in their homes as forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi seek to crush anti-government demonstrations. This from the AP. And stateside, the update is that the UN Security Council this morning holding an emergency meeting. The Libyan ambassador to the United Nations pretty much cut ties with Muammar Gaddafi, saying that he represents the Libyan people and they're recognizing him. And so the UN Security Council is at least working on something that would address the situation, speak to the situation. Let's talk to Steve from Newark, New Jersey. Hi, Steve. You're on WNYC.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I have friends that they have family, and then they're pretty concerned about the well-being of their family. And they're also telling me about how brutal Gaddafi is really is, and I'm kind of it's mind-boggling. I think the U.S. should do something about that, about the whole deal.
About, I'm sorry, say again, what should the U.S. do something about and catch it?
I think the U.S. should get more involved, do something, because Gaddafi is willing to kill people to
gotcha.
Get to stay in power.
And what's your background, Steve?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your background? I'm sorry. I guess the call's not going through that well. This just demonstrates the how hard it is to get information or communication from a number of these countries. Egypt was the exception. Tons of news media were there covering it. Libya engaged in more or less of a crackdown. Update on Morocco is that there have been 10,000 or so people turning out in cities across Morocco calling for democratic change, but the government there has handled it a little bit differently. In Rabat, the capital, and in Casablanca, 3,000 to 5,000 protesters, and there have been smaller demonstrations in Marrakesh and Tangier. The demonstrations are described as peaceful, though state radio announced that the rallies have been canceled, perhaps as a tactic to keep turnout down. Another update from Iraq. The AP reports that thousands of demonstrators are demanding political reforms in Iraq's northern Kurdish region. A crowd of about 6,000 people massed Tuesday in the streets there, 160 miles northeast of Baghdad. How's it all make you feel, Debbie? I mean, is this hopeful? Is this scary? In general, what are the emotions you probably haven't felt in a long time?
You know, Mike, if somebody had come to me 6 months ago and said this would be happening, I would be in absolute disbelief. And so now for all of this to actually be happening within this last month, it's just been incredible. It's thrilling. It's exuberating. I can't even find the words to describe it. But at the same time, it's frightening because of, the number of deaths that have taken place, in Egypt and now in Libya and even in Yemen. And so, the casualties aspect is really what frightens me the most, is how many lives will have to be lost for, you know, liberty and freedom, for a sense of democracy that these people, you know, wish and hope for. And I guess the other part that really makes me very proud as an Arab and as a Muslim is the way that people have gone out into the streets demanding their rights in a dignified, respectful, nonviolent manner. And unfortunately, the governments and pro-government thugs have unfortunately made these situations seem violent. But it's not at the hands of those who are protesting for their rights. It's, you know, at the hands of these people who want to undermine these people, you know, claiming their freedom and liberty. And so it's been incredible to see the level of sophistication within all of these demonstrations where people want to do this peacefully. And it truly changes this image of, you know, Arabs and Muslims are so-called violent people. The spirit of Arabs and Muslims, you know, in these demonstrations has been incredible and uplifting for me and thousands of Arabs and Muslims across the world.
Abdul, who's calling us from Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hello, Abdul.
Thank you, Sayah. I love your show.
We are
really missing a very important point right now. For us, as a people that live in this country, we are an American, but originally we came from that side of the world. We need to ask our congressmen, our senators, our president, our government here, this is about right time to support the real democracy and liberty that they have been telling us in the United States. They're spreading on that region. And believe me, this is the time that we should support the real democracy that's coming from those people. That saves us a lot of money that we need in this country. And you see the crisis we have in the United States here, the financial problem, because of that money that the military is spending for those countries, and they're telling us they're giving those people democracy and freedom. That's not right. You see, there's a bunch of elite here in this country. They want the status quo to continue. They want the war to continue on that region, on that Middle East, because that region has the oil. And they want, when they have that war, the status quo continue, they manage, the military company manage to sell these guns to that Middle East. So
yes,
the petrodollars, they have to come.
And that money
from that side, they give it to these senators and these congressmen who are not really supporting democracy, not even in America, not even in the other country.
All right, I get it. I get it, Abdul, and I've heard that a lot. This is put up or shut up time, especially for those who've been preaching the gospel of the spread of democracy. And Debbie Almentasser, in our final minutes, you know, the United States spends some money and a lot of effort on public diplomacy efforts, meaning to try to spread the good name of the United States. What do you think the government should be doing? Whatever you consider the right stance in these situations, would that go really far in terms of public diplomacy for the average person in the Middle East?
I think what they need to do is what they've done with Egypt, and that is to support the people and the people's wishes. At the end of the day, it's the people who make or break the, you know, society. And I think, you know, in all these situations across the Middle East, they really need to support what the people want, and they need to put their personal relationships with these dictators aside and you know, allow the people to be able to determine their destiny.
All right, let's take another call here. Michael from the Lower East Side, you're on WNYC. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I know a lot of Yemenis who work in delicatessens in Brooklyn. Whole blocks are just owned, you know, all the delis are owned by Yemenis. They're very, very friendly people, very hardworking, very nice people, okay? And it's very interesting how now that the pro-democracy is spreading, how now in the mainstream...
Oh, and there's a lost call. And let's leave it at that.
That's unfortunate.
All right. Michael, are you there?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Go ahead, please. Yes, finish your point, yes.
Okay, so my point is now mainstream media is portraying the price of oil is rising directly because of all these pro-democratic movements going on now. And I think it's another way of subliminally suggesting to the population here that this is a bad thing, okay, because no one wants the price of oil to go up. So it's very interesting how now that push comes to shove, the interests are still trying to keep the people down. Where does Dick Cheney come about opening up relations again with Libya? Where does he stand on the whole pro-democracy movement?
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's just a dog wagging the tail right now, okay? Have a great day.
I want to thank you for the call. And Debbie Almentasser, who is an educator and board chair of the Muslim Consultative Network, I want to thank you for joining us in this segment on WNYC. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Back in a moment, talking about 401ks.